I want to say good morning to you. I left here at midnight, woke up at 5 o'clock, and I thought, man, that hour, I could have used it really bad this morning. And I don't know, I think some of you could use that hour too. So stand up just for a moment, please. Come on, stand up. Turn around and face that wall. Turn around and face that wall. You got to be close to each other, though, because the person in front of you needs a back rub real bad. I said, work it in, come on. Oh, yeah. There you go. All right, stop. Turn around, face that wall. Same thing. Oh, yes. Okay, good enough. That's better. Oh, I know, I stopped. Oh. That's better. Amazing what a back rub will do for you in the morning. Oh, my. If you have your Bible, please find John chapter 19 for a moment and just kind of hold that. John 19. A missionary home on leave was shopping for a globe of the world to take back to her mission school to show the children what the world looks like in all the different countries, you know, and everything. And the clerk showed her a reasonably priced globe and another one with a light bulb inside that, of course, lit up. "This is nicer," the clerk said, pointing to the illuminated globe. But, of course, you must remember a lighted world costs more. And that strikes me as an interesting comment. A lighted world costs more. In the Gospel of John, Jesus claimed that he was the light of the world. The light of the world. And this claim certainly cost him more. It cost him his life. John 19, verse 16. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Now verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Father, this morning, as we think about your word and we think about the cross, Lord, and this season we call Lent, we ask you, Father, please, to help us to understand, to help us see the cross, to help us to realize what's happening here, to help it make sense, Lord, in our lives, Father, every day. And just show us, Lord, what's happening on the cross and what you want us to learn today, Lord. And we'll praise you, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In your name, Lord, amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So begins John's Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He was the light entering a world of darkness. Jesus declares to a dark world, he says, "I'm the bread of life, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the living water, I am the light of the world." And this light of the living God will drive away darkness. Man, we all know darkness, don't we? We all know darkness. Pain, illness, grief, anger, hunger, shame, guilt, loneliness. We all know darkness in one form or another. But the light of the world has come to bring us out of that darkness. John takes us to the cross, where we see the ultimate battle between light and darkness. From the cross, we hear the light cry out, "It's finished." He then bows his head and he dies. What does it mean, it's finished? You know, for the Roman officials, the troublemaker was finally eliminated. And I'm sure they were so happy. For the religious leaders, their greatest threat and their competition was finally gone. For his disciples, though, finish meant defeat. It seems like darkness has won. But for Jesus, when he says it is finished, it is his cry of victory. A cry of victory. Ever hear of Michelangelo? Michelangelo was a genius. He excelled as a sculptor, a designer, a painter, an architect. His statues of Moses and David, of course, are world famous, widely recognized. What many people don't know, though, is that in Florence, Italy, there is a hall. There's an entire hall filled with his unfinished sculptures. He got them started, but they were never finished. As great an artist as he was, he left much unfinished. But Jesus Christ left nothing unfinished. As we hear him from the cross say, "It is finished." For Jesus, the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled. Isaiah 7 says that his mother will be a virgin. Genesis 22 says that he will be the seed of Abraham. Psalm 78 says that he will speak in parables. Isaiah 8 says that he will be rejected by the Jews. The Bible says he'll be like a sheep led to the slaughter. It says that his hands and his feet will be pierced. All these Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled. It is finished. But also his humiliation was over. You know, Jesus was the incarnation of God. God in human flesh. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote that Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man. What Jesus gave up in coming to earth was immense. He gave up his home in heaven. He gave up the continuous praise of angels. He took on the form of a slave. And he suffered a most humiliating death on the cross. Clarence McCartney wrote a book, and here's what he said. He said, "What it meant for Christ to assume our fallen nature and to dwell constantly with sinners, only he could know. But that humiliation is over. It's finished." For Jesus, too, his enemy Satan is finally defeated. The cross sounded like the death knell of the devil's power. It looked like the moment of Satan's greatest triumph, yet in reality, it was the hour of his ultimate defeat. It's true that Satan has not yet been chained and cast into the bottomless pit, but his doom is certain. And then for Jesus, the atonement was accomplished. It is finished. Because our God is holy, our sinfulness causes this gap between him and us. But the cross of Jesus bridges the gap, allowing us to cross over into a loving, forgiving relationship with our God. Theologians like to use the term atonement to describe this crossing over, this bridging the gap. So you see on the cross, the darkness of sin met the light of the world, and the light won. For Jesus, the words "it is finished" mean that the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, the humiliation was over, Satan's defeated, and the atonement was accomplished. Light defeated darkness. So in closing, let me ask you a question. How do you respond when you find yourself facing darkness? How do you respond when you find yourself facing darkness?
Hello?
And when you find yourself facing darkness, how do you respond when you hear the word cancer? How do you respond When you hear your boss say, "Sorry, but we got to let you go." How do you respond when your neighbor spreads false rumors about you? How do you respond when your spouse screams, "That's it, it's over"? When you find yourself in that moment of darkness, how do you respond? I think the Lord wants us to remember the cross when that happens. He wants us to remember the cross where the light of the world defeated darkness. He wants you to remember the cross. And I think he wants you to face it head on. When darkness came, it said there's darkness for 3 hours. Jesus didn't run away from the darkness when it came as he's hanging on the cross. He could have said certainly, "Oh, here comes the darkness. See you later. I'll come back in about 3 hours when it's over." He didn't do that. He faced it. Didn't try to run away from it. There's all kinds of ways that we like to try and run. The ones, of course, we hear about the most are, you know, people turn to alcohol, people turn to drugs. But somehow we find some way to escape the darkness. But I think Jesus would say, "I didn't run. I faced it," and he wants us to face it. And also, I think it's interesting, Where was Jesus during those 3 hours of darkness? Where was he? He was in the darkness. He was still hanging on the cross. What if we looked at those dark moments in our lives and said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop and I'm going to look for Jesus in the darkness. I think you'll find him. Because I think he's there. I think he's in the darkness waiting for you and me. In fact, maybe in that dark moment of our lives, maybe he's looking for us. But he wants us to find him because he's there." There's a great verse in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 43. Verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Why not? Because he's there. He's in the water, he's in the river, he's in the fire. He's in the darkness. You can find him there. And you know what he wants you to do? I think he wants to find us in the darkness, and he wants to take us to the light. Because the darkness has been defeated. He wants to take us to the light. Remember the cross, where the light of the world defeated darkness. Face it head on. Remember, God is in it. You can find him in it. And you can trust him to take you through that darkness into the light. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Let's pray. Lord, you are so incredible. You are so incredible. And how we thank you, and how we worship you, and how we love you. Lord, all of us know what it's like to be in the dark. We know what it's like to hurt. Lord, we all know what it's like to feel lonely or to feel pain. Lord, to feel discouragement, Father, to be at the end of our rope, Lord, and to not know what to do. Lord, during those times, I pray that we would think of the cross. And we remember you, Lord, the light of the world. You defeated darkness, Lord, on the cross for us. When you said it is finished, Lord, that was the end of darkness. Lord, may we remember that. Maybe we find hope in that. And maybe, Lord, help us to face it. It's so hard, Lord. We want to run. Nobody wants to face it. We want to find the quickest, easiest way out. But, Lord, if you're there in the darkness, we'll miss out. We'll miss you. Lord, many of our folks are really struggling right now, Lord, and in different ways, going through a dark time. Lord, please make yourself real. Lord, I pray that they'll see you, that they will see you there, Lord, and grab their hands, Father. Grab their hands and take them through it towards the light. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for it, Lord. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.